Well, this is chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Chapter 2 of 2 Kings. Forgive me also, my glasses, they are just not 100% well. They, I think they're broken, so I order one, but unfortunately they will come after I leave. So, yeah, I will struggle a little bit, but I hope I will get there. This is chapter 2 of 2 Kings. And in this story, we have Elijah taken up to heaven, isn't it? And so, and then Elisha is going to succeed him. And so in this story, I just prayed and I said, what is the Lord saying here in this? And so I came up with this title, Elijah, Elisha, Prophetic Succession. So we see here how this great prophet is going, and then another prophet is emerging. And then I say this as an opening to the message I want to bring tonight. I said, big turning points in our lives happen when we are at the state of true worship. When we are at the right connection with our Heavenly Father. When we are in union with Him, where there is nothing separates us from Him, we will be able to hear His voice. And we will be able to hear Him and all the instructions that He is giving us. When we give Him our full attentions and opening our hearts in humility and in dedication to Him. Elijah, he was a man that was devoted to his God. As a man who knew his calling. As a man, as a prophet among God's people. If I should say, that is a mediator of the covenant, in a sense. Because that was what the prophets were doing. They were calling people to abide and to obey the Lord God who has brought them out from Egypt. That was the role of that prophet. And just imagine if a prophet is just in indifference about this covenant, about the jealousy that is in God's heart for His own people and the work He has put into place, and then God really moved and seriously, and that is why He punishes His own people, and you see, and denounced the prophets who were like after their own gains. But when true prophets gave themselves to God, and so. They hear God, and they show us also as God's people that this is their God is our God. And if we really follow the Lord and not to be found in places of false worship, isn't it? So why I'm saying this, let us come to know why these people, when they were coming from a place of worship. So the opening verses say, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. They were from their way from Gilgal. You see? So they were coming from a place that reminded them of God. And so we have Gilgal. What is Gilgal? What is Gilgal here? So Gilgal is a place where we read this in Judges, in Joshua 4. This is where we have encounter with a place called Gilgal. So to just give us a picture, why what is the place of Gilgal in the cultic system in Israel? So chapter 4, when the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan from right where the priest stood, and to carry them over with you and put them down at the place where you stay tonight. So here the history is that when the people of God were crossing Jordan, and then you know like the 12 leaders, each from the 12 tribe of Israel, they were going and they were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And so as their feet touched down, and then the water opened up, dry land. You see, and so the Israelites, they crossed to the other side. And then Moses, then Joshua gave an instruction that you should select also from each tribe men who will just go while these men of God are still in the middle. So to each person to take a stone from there. And then each one took that stone, and then they went out, and then after they finished, and then the men of God who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, they started to come out, and then the water went back. So each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the member of the tribe. So that was the instruction. So the Israelites did as Joshua commanded them. They took 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribe. Joshua set up the 12 stones that had been in the middle of the Jordan at the spot where the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant had stood. And they are there to this day. And then on the 10th day of first month, the people went up from the Jordan and came at Gilgal on the eastern border of Jericho. And Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12th stone they had taken out of the Jordan. He had said to Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their fathers, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you until you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan just what he did to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. And so this is the place, a place where they are reminded of what the Lord God himself has done for his own people. And so that has become a center where people go and worship. That is why these two men, they were there. They were reminding the Israelites, because they came further after Joshua. And so people of Israel be reminded that God acted. God helped your forefathers, and so that you may fear God. And so these two men, they were coming from the place of worship, and then say, that is why when the Israelites try to worship not in the spirit, they would be told that even if you go to Gilgal, you see nothing. You don't go there anymore, because anyone who should go there should be encountering God. You see, Amos said that. It doesn't matter. If you go to Gilgal and your heart is departing from God, nothing will happen. And then also Bethel. So we encounter Bethel for the first time in Genesis chapter 28, when Jacob was running from his father, his brother, and so going to Laban. And there, as he slept that night, also the Lord appeared to him in a dream in a pillar that we call Ladder of Jacob. And so the angels and God spoke to him from there. And that place was called Luz, and then Jacob called that place Bethel, the house of God. God was here. So what I want to say in those two places, and so it signifies to us that these men, they realized that these two centers, so they were the places where there is true worship. And they were encountering God. And as a result, you see, they all heard what God was saying to them. You see? So God heard, they heard God. Even not only them, even the other prophets who were there, they knew about the plans of God. So what I'm trying to say here is this. So if we are devoted to God and really seeking him earnestly, you see, we will hear him. We will not be just going left or right. We will be really speaking to him. He will speak to us. You see, if we are not worshiping really in a wrong way, if we are worshiping in truth and in spirit, that was what Jesus says, isn't it? The true worshippers, they will worship in truth and in spirit. You see, it might not be in Gilgal or anywhere, but the true worshipper will worship in truth and in spirit, wherever you might be found. So these men, they were just coming from these two great places, reminding them of God who speaks to his own people, God who was devoted to his own. You see, as the people of Israel were in covenant with their God, also we are. and covenant. We, the new covenant, isn't it? We are in the covenant with God. And we can hear him and he can speak to us and he can show us what to do. Even like, what is it called? Tomato sauce, isn't it? And then leading me to this young boy, you see. So if we are open to God and really and seeking to remember where we have been brought. We were sinners and we were dead in our transgressions. And yet the Lord God has shown us his mercy by saving us. So those men, they were going to a place where the stones were speaking of the act of God for his own people, delivering them, performing supernatural power, miracles, opening up Jordans as he had opened the Red Sea. Well, what is the sign that was to be for them a sign? But what is a sign to us? You see, what is a sign to us? The cross is a sign to us that will speak to eternity that God has acted miraculously, not just only to bring us out from a place to a place, but actually to bring us out from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. And so it's just what I want to press upon your heart tonight. There's a lot in this. But even the prophets, when they were worshiping also, and then they were telling Joshua, do you know that your master will be taken from you tonight? How did they know this? You see, how did they know that? The Holy Spirit gave them that knowledge. It was so obvious that Elijah, maybe he was looking like a man was going to go to heaven. That must mean there was too much light around him. And also, when God is about to finish his with you and then like to take you into another one, to another state. So he revealed this to other people. That is why people test things. You see, in a company of Christians, you see, they can test things. Sometimes you have men who have a spirit of God in their hearts. They can interrogate you. You see, when you want to say something and then they say, oh, is this like this? Isn't this? They are testing things by the Spirit, isn't it? And sometimes really God can just tell them exactly, this is right. You see, and then you can you will know that. But even if they sense like there's something that might not be of God, they may sense it also. Even in this place, I think we had an encounter, something. A guy who was coming out from a religious practice that was of evil, and God really touched him. But his family, they were still engaged in that type of Hinduism. And then during the festival, he was just saying something that was symbolic of. And so he was like trying to share from this place how he wanted to be sympathetic with his family and he wanted to put this just like to identify with his sisters. And many of us who were sitting here, we just didn't feel that was right. We didn't respond to that. So, but these men of God, they knew what God was doing. So here, Elijah, and then this man, he told them like, yeah, they said, do you know that your father will be taken? They said, yes, but don't talk about this. This is one thing. The other thing I want to finish with, I'm just intending just like really to give you just this simple message. The other one, you realize that Elijah was telling Elisha to stay here and not to come with him. You see, few times. Why is that? Because he says to him in chapter 2, Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elisha said, as surely as the Lord lives, as you live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. You see? And then also, Elijah in verse 4 said to him, stay here, Elisha, the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And then he said, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So they went to Jericho. Then Elijah third time said to him in verse 6, to him, stay here, the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. And he replied, as surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you. So the two of them walked on. This is prophetic succession. When we know our calling completely, 100%, what can deter us from following the call of God in our lives? So Elijah, he knew that he was a man destined to be one of the greatest prophets the people of God ever known. So just imagine if he just like not listened to the call of God when God was speaking to these prophets and to Elijah, and they knew that God was going to take Elijah. So also he himself, he knew. That is what he was telling these people. When he was told, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know. So he knew. And again he said that. He said, he was told again in verse 5, do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today? Yes, I know, he replied. But do not speak about it. Do not discourage me. Let me go with him all the way until that happens. And there I will succeed him. And now we see when Elijah took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water with it as a sign of the presence of God, a great prophet like Moses, when he struck with his staff, this man also. These are supernatural action of God confirming that he is God who performs miracles. And whoever God is calling, it is through the power of God that they will be able to do what they did. And so the cloak was a sign that this is a man of God and he is going to do this. And then that is what happened. And so suddenly, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated them, two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. I'd like to come back to this at some stage in the future, in the nearest future, to talk about this. And Elijah saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them apart. Just a season is finished, a new beginning has dawned. This man now, he picked up the cloak that had fallen from Elijah, a sign of anointing and the presence of God, and also the coronation to be the prophets, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the cloak that had fallen from him and struck the water with it. No difference. Anyone that the Holy Spirit and the call of God on upon will be able to perform miracles. It's not about Elijah and Elisha. It's about God anointing on these men who were frail like us, but they were able to hear God because God is gracious. And so this is what happens. And then the company of the prophets from Jericho who were watching said, the spirit of Elijah is rested on Elijah. And you know, he said to Elijah, look, if you want the double portion of my anointing, I can do that, but you wait until I'm taken up, and then that will happen. It's like Jesus saying, wait in Jerusalem, you will be anointed, and then you can do that. So my brothers and sisters tonight, what I just want to leave for you to really to apply and to take out from this place, let us worship God in truth and spirit. So let us open our hearts and really be dedicated to him against anything else, against the noise. Obviously, Elijah and Elisha, they were surrounded with many people, isn't it? You see, even prophets, you see. But they were dedicated. They were able to capture the vision of God. If we are ever to capture the vision of God, we are to be closer to our God and to worship him in truth and in spirit, and not to have a false worship. And I hope in the future we will go through the book of Amos. So because the Amos had two messages, the false worship and when the true prophets keep silent in times of trouble. So let us draw closer to God in true worship, and there shouldn't be any false to be found in us. You see, but to love our God with all our hearts and to follow him and to serve him, and not to be deterred by any voice at all, even if because people may see what we are going through is going to be dangerous for us. You see, but if the Lord has opened that door for us to go through that, we are not to be deterred. You see, we are not to be deterred because we have heard God and we have come to know that this is the true path of righteousness and godliness. And Elijah saw that, and he followed through. And God is able to deliver us from anything, you see, and he's able to be with us. I just want to stop there. I don't want to push it any further, but much could be said. A man taken into heaven with a chariot of fire. This is a sermon in its own, you see. But again, there's nothing special about it. Just God displaying his supernatural power. And this great prophet that he has no like is going up to heaven in this way. You see, I should not forget to say, if you compare two people also only in the book, in the Bible, were taken to heaven, is Enoch, isn't it? Enoch was taken to heaven, and this man was taken to heaven. What is the common denominator between these two men? I can say only one thing. They both pleased God, isn't it? They pleased God. And so, well, there is a call upon us to please our God, and it's not a hard thing to do. These men, they didn't try very hard, isn't it? Was there anything special they did? No. They were just going to the true place of worship. They were opening their hearts to God, and they were keeping what they heard to be the truth, and they followed it through. And so we can do the same thing. It's very simple. Through the grace of God, the love of God, the power of God, he is able to do that. Amen? Let us take heart and walk with our God. And our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I will be with you until the end. And the Holy Spirit may come. Let me pray.